people that were thinking about it, who wanted to put something in.
How many applications have you got?
We had 7 on the Friday before when we got.
Did you get additional ones through?
I haven't heard anything more. I have to go and ask them, and they have to then go and check the system and so on and so forth. So there was one that sent stuff to David Bullivant, because he's a software development leader according to our website, who sent a letter to them. I can't really comment online. So we had this test proposal. So last time we had a meeting was about 3 weeks ago, and we had a test proposal problem, and then Carl modified it a bit the next day. Have you heard any feedback from Chris?
Mm-hmm. No, just what was the
initial.
Yeah.
Well, we just have to go with what we did then.
So I made 2 modifications and there was no follow-up, so just assume that
that's okay.
We'll go with that.
Okay. Fine. And then how is it going trying to get it to do it?
In some ways it's very close, but it doesn't do it in the way that we normally do it. Probably the biggest thing, like there's one example that's very close, and if you need to change the solvent to be what we want, you to change the preconditioner and sort of the number of steps and tolerance and things like that. But the way it's set up currently is that there's an assembly every time step. We can throw something together and have some results quickly, but it's not really the way that we'd probably be doing things.
Just out of curiosity, have you seen that in code? Because it greatly surprised me that they would do that.
Yeah, well, it was
unless there's some flag that you can set where it doesn't.
Yeah, well, I think I did see a flag some time ago that said don't assemble, but it does the assembly in the right hand side of the matrix on the right hand side in the same place, and so this example must be regenerating the right hand side, it must be doing the matrix. So we can put a flag in to say don't assemble now, but the way it assembles seems to be assumed that it's been zeroed, and so either we have to put a flag somehow tell it not to zero the matrix before we assemble, or we have to sort of store our own copy of the matrix and copy it in. It's not quite ideal, but.
So if you run it, was it doing the assembly as well?
We've run the test problem. I haven't adjusted it to be exactly. So I've run the lib mesh example, I haven't adjusted it to be exactly the same as what we want, but it's pretty similar, and it runs and it seems to go faster when you use more processes.
And could you get it just to run exactly the problem we defined? That would be quite good, even if
it does it badly,
it's ground level step. Zero, yeah.
Yeah.
And can we get the same problem solved in CN?
Yeah. Does anyone want to work on that?
That's the easy part. To do a true parabolic, you have to kind of turn off the cell model, right? You can't really skip doing the cell model. I guess, would you do grid-based FEM?
There is a heat equation in CN.
This is for just standard FEM, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure. It would probably be good to compare standard FEM with grid-based FEM, because grid-based FEM is faster. I assume that's what before.
Okay. I think you're probably right. I think it's going to be easier to
I would think you'd compare it to what people are currently using, and that would be grid-based FEM.
By the time you put in sort of a
to try and put in a cell model, but there's nothing more
special to do right now. Yeah. To cubicle, it's just going to be like one extra.
How much work is this to get it to do it? See, yes,
yeah. Oh, very little. Thing.
Well, I could do it. It's very okay. So,
I mean, there's already one example in standard thin.
Well, my first priority is going to be getting a Libmesh
result
running.
Okay.
And then if nobody else is doing the same one, then I'll move on to that. But if Travis gets a chance before I do, then that's great too.
I would personally rather commit my part of my time going to this to playing more with Libmesh, to be honest. That's what I've been doing.
Yeah.
That makes sense to all of us, but yeah. No, I think so. Can you get the result? You know, not worry about turning off the assembly. You can try and get CM to do the same thing, and then we've got something. You know, got base level zero of both these two running, and then we can see what we can do about improving stuff.
Well, we can always just do a simple cubic reaction diffusion problem. That's not too much additional work. Outside of the testing proposal.
You could write a cell model thing that does nothing at all, right?
It didn't do, yeah. Or, yeah.
The other thing that Mesh does that I'm not used to is bias directional boundary conditions by what I call the penalty method. And I wrote about it on the wiki, but I thought it was all fine first because I thought the equations that you're adding together were consistent, but in fact what happens is the original equation's wrong because you don't know what your flux is, just includes a flux on the boundary term, and then you add in your sort of your Dirichlet equation on top of that, and you just make the penalty so high that it swamps out the equation that's wrong, which works to enough accuracy.
Isn't that the penalty method though? Is it you're not doing the flux boundary conditions correctly, and so you just impose a huge penalty on the Dirichlet
method? Yeah, I'd be much happier if. Most penalty methods I know sort of take one equation that is valid and add another equation that is valid and then add them together with a different weight on each, and then you're sort of satisfying both of them. Whereas this is rather than just a penalty, it's like a make sure you swamp out this term.
Well, if you. There's a class of like least squares methods where you have some least squares functional that imposes the flux condition and the definition and the definition of flux, and then you could add to that some kind of least squares boundary function of what we call it, and you have all those three together, and then you're essentially minimizing some least squares norms, which is consist of minimizing the least squares norm for the div dot f equals right hand side, and then f equals minus grad.
Well, I think by half plus with that.
So what's going to happen is the element, the element matrices on the boundary are going to be essentially the same as they would be for this case, where you do a straightforward FEM integration on the boundary.
I'm happy with that, but if you took your least squared approach and then added your extra equation x equals 1 to it and did a least squares on x equals 1 when the real solution was x equals 0, then I'd be less happy with that term in there.
code boundary functions?
Or just over the domain or anywhere.
You've got two equations it's trying to satisfy, right? And one of them is actually you don't want to satisfy, so you'll write this one so that you don't worry about the fact you're not satisfying the equation, you actually got it. You'd rather not have put that equation in.
That's right.
If you're not going to satisfy it.
Different. Because it's very similar to what we've done in the past. And if you think about it as finding a solution to minimize the norm, which is essentially what we're doing. Because you don't touch the element matrices on the boundary, right? Like if you have
that in there,
yeah,
and adds a new term which essentially imposes the conditions on
it. What I'm saying is this equation for this element is generated assuming there's zero flux across the boundary, but the flux is non-zero, which is the same equation as true.
I believe that's valid.
It's a problem myself. So long as you pick your penalty value well, then you're going to get something that's sort of close enough that you're not too worried. But if both equations were consistent, then we would have much more freedom to pick a wide range of penalty values for them to calculate it exactly.
I mean, that's what you do with the. Finding solutions to non-homogeneous sort of ordinary differential equations, right? Split it into a linear case, homogeneous, and find a particular solution. So in that sense, the solutions are not consistent, but you've split the problem up into a part that satisfies a homogeneous equation, right? And then you can add a solution that satisfies the boundary condition.
But that's still a valid solution to both the whole equation.
But isn't I don't see the difference here. I mean, in one case you've got a zero flux boundary condition, and the other one you're opposing an additional solution.
But we're putting both those lines in our equation to solve.
There's no other way around doing a Fermi method here for the Dirichlet boundary conditions. I mean, there's no condition that we could be adding that we know.
I'm not saying.
So the only correct way is to put an infinite weight on the Dirichlet boundary condition.
Yeah.
So this is just, an infinite weight, so you can put something large.
With your traditional homogeneous and particular solutions, you solve for the homogeneous and find a particular solution added to together. This you're asking one solution to satisfy both equations.
Well, depends what your weight. I mean, when you put a huge weight, there's no way it's going to close. You don't care about the other. But I mean, this is the point of it. I don't see how you come up with anything else. I mean, it's not an ideal way, but I don't think.
Yeah, I had a look at trying to subtract off the flux, but then I couldn't guarantee that it was probably a better system after modifying my equation. So, once again, we'll get something going and then we can look at the table and see what we proceed to. So, if we agree, that's okay.
The next two items on this agenda are just that we have this big list of projects, which I guess we've kind of exhausted what we're doing, and then the development steps, which is on a different page as well, kind of says that we are writing this test problem and then we're trying to do it with CM and CM and LibMesh and maybe me using Sundance and maybe Chris with Fortran 90 if he wants, and so on. So yeah, and then it also tries to address this whole thing that I was talking about with Chris last week, and just sort of writing a criteria against which we're examining these things, which we haven't come to yet. We talked a lot about 3 months ago or something, and didn't tie down. Maybe we should try and put that on the agenda for next week or something, is actually trying to write a set of criteria again.
What if we let's just say, hypothetically speaking, we do the test for lid mesh with parabolic and we see that it's not significantly slower than TM.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not significantly slower than Chris's.
Yeah.
What do we do then? Do we then say, well, let's venture in light feed?
No, I don't think we need to do that. I think we just need to make sure that we give an opportunity for other critical criteria, which, I mean, like the other thing that I can see that will continue to be a problem for some people is just the choice of language and environment in which we're doing this. But if we go with LibMesh, we're saying it will be C++ and so on. I need to give people an opportunity to discuss this.
I think that if decisions aren't made, this
is that's why I'm trying to make it do real soon. Okay, so we can talk about criteria and we can try and look at these results, and I really want to make a decision as well. I said 3 months in December, so that was March, and now it's June.
You wanted to make a decision on
adopting a framework and getting on with it. Not just talking about.
Are we going to use the LibMesh and then make that our basis, or are we going to develop on a Fortran 90 basis, or are we going to use once we've made that decision, then we can start trying to.
I think we have come a lot closer, and we do have to prove that there's not a huge problem in terms of time, and we have to at least consider whether we're doing the right thing in terms of language and make some discussion about that, even if it's just amongst ourselves. And I mean, I know what I think, but you know, we just have to have that discussion. So that's all I mean, and it gives us something to actually do. LibMesh and visualization. So I spent time on Wednesday last week reading all the stuff about LibMesh. I downloaded and built it and ran the examples, most of the examples, and that worked okay on my single system. But I think I ended up with MPICH in there and whatever. Seemed to work. Don't know what that means. And then I started trying to read the documentation about the meshes. So there's kind of several different things. One, in that LibMesh exports a bunch of different file formats at the moment. GMV, which is some visualization program from the labs or something, and a few other different things, and something for GNU plot and stuff like that. So we could write a writer that exported some definition of EXNode, EXAlamor, potentially FieldML, and then just have a different writer and then just read things in the same GUI and just proceed like that. But what I'd stated a long time ago is that I'd like to see a more tighter connection. And so there's two ways of that. The exporter, instead of writing a file, could export into memory in another part of, you know, in your program, the CMGUI library that was sitting there that had the graphics attached to it, and you could essentially update CMGUI's own nodes and elements with some field from LibMesh when you wrote this export command or whatever. and then you could then write the file or display it or generate IT services or whatever. The unfortunate problem with going through both of those things is, it, as far as I can tell, all these exporters have by then serialized everything onto one processor, and I don't quite see where they did it, but the exporter only happens on processor zero. And,
well, currently, every processor owns the full mesh.
But off solutions as well?
Well, I know the mesh.
Yeah.
So I assume that then.
Solution data seems to be a bit different. And I couldn't even see where it was. I mean, because you have to. The solution at the next time step is what you're trying to solve
for.
Yeah,
that's just stupid.
Yeah, and then at some point it must collapse it before it writes it out. It was unclear whether, you know, like the thing that the example wrote it out every tenth time, it wasn't an explicit collate this matrix for me, so whether it's collating it onto processor zero every time or syncing every processor every time in between time steps, which would be inefficient and unfortunate, or whether it's when it goes to write it out it realizes that it needs it on zero and pulls it all in. I couldn't tell you any of those things yet. So I was trying to work that out a little bit. And so the third way is to enable CMGUI to generate ISO surfaces, for example, off the data structures that are already in the mesh. So you know, you have a function to call which you provide it a lib mesh mesh, and it just generates an ISO surface. That's a very different way of operating CMGUI than it does at the moment, where CMGUI tries to notice that a field have changed and kind of mark all things bad and go through and regenerate things that are dependent on those changed values. This is a given this mesh making an isosurface, and then later on you just tell it to make another one as and when you chose. Now that actually fits quite well with the way that you write your C++ main program to run your libmesh anyway, so you just to the right place you want it in the loop and tell it to generate your new isosurface. And that could be done you know, distributedly, I presume, but each processor would call CMGUI separately, would generate their parts of the isosurface, and then you just have to build some way into CMGUI of accumulating that. Back to a processor that can then just render it. That could be done, and I'm still trying to figure out what I might, of those three options, do first. I'm probably going to have a go at the second, which is has the big penalty, which means that CMGUI and libmesh can continue to operate almost as they are at the moment. They at least exist in the same memory space, but it means that you end up always going through the zeroth node, and you always have to, you end up with two copies of everything. CMGUI will have all its own idea of nodes and elements, so, that from which it will then generate graphics. So that's what I'm thinking of doing at the moment. Have either of you tried the visualization that's there? Have you built CGMB?
No.
Have you used it before?
Well, there's no buildings, so it's
beautiful. Oh, you can get an executable.
Yeah, I've used it for their examples that output GMB.
Oh, okay. Oh, you can just download it from the labs or something. I should try it. What does it do? I mean, is it a GUI, or does it just generate you a view that you see it?
No, it's a GUI. Okay. You can right-click on edges and show edges, and you can right-click on faces and
okay.
Library, and it's a main view. I was using the solid list. It doesn't produce anything like SAMGUI, but it's allows you to view three solutions, I think, to time step through them. But again, not as fast as SAMGUI. Now, what they use is that SAMGUI is based on the GTK or what is it?
Nah, Motif.
Motif. I don't know what they use, but it just doesn't look quite as smart.
Oh, I might
just send an email to my binary.
Okay, that'd be great. I mean, another thing I could do is write a, you know, is this first step is to write a GMB importer from SAMGUI just so I can read those files. So they look real simple. the one that I looked at, on example 10 or something, everything was surfaces, so it was quads and triangles, and there was no 3D geometry. I didn't know whether that was just because it was a 2D problem or just surprised me, like everything was 2D. Yeah,
Is there a 3D problem?
But I'm not sure it made the GMB. See, I was looking. Yeah. You had to go quite far through them before the end. Oh, so yeah, I didn't know. I couldn't work out whether it had, LibMesh had already made isosurfaces or something, and that's what it was spitting out, but it didn't look like that. Okay, so that's probably what it's doing. Okay, well, maybe I should just try and make a 3D one and see what I can get out.
That could be useful next week or sometime to write down the pros and cons of using the package. We've done this pros and cons on completely starting over with OpenCMS or rebuilding from the back end, but never really talked about
it. Yeah, which is partly what the criteria should be examined.
Yep.
So maybe I should try and write start something as well.
And there's obvious advantages to me, but there's also a couple of disadvantages to me.
Yeah, totally. People have already solved lots of problems, but they've solved them in a particular way. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to figure out. The only other thing that's on this agenda is about CMS.org job. Jerry's replacement again. They made a little bit of progress. Like, we had a new version of the job.
Oh, yeah, I'll check with CMS.org?
Wow, that's what he was. Well, he's busy under the org and CMS.org.
I'm going to get to
Well, yeah, the emphasis was
away
from the website, given that what's his name, Gareth was going to take over some of that. But the job description is with Susanna or Maria.
Okay.
Since we went
a week or so.
I was thinking though that there maybe needs to be a little bit of additional stuff on familiarity biology.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But that's where it is at the moment. It was unchanged since we saw it. Passed it on a week or more ago. I'll check with Maria if that's what the status is.
Yeah, and Gareth has, made some of you figured out where the, well, you found someone else who sorted out the problem with the first email and all the trackers not coming out.
Yeah,
fixed that this morning.
Oh, okay. That's been around a while, eh?
It's been around quite a long
time. Did you
say Gareth fixed it? Yeah, well, he found someone else had posted the bug and a solution on,
cool.
Like, on a website, so he found the solution. Yeah, which is good. I re-prompted it last week. It was new and, you know, I thought it was important.
Have you looked at any other output formats from LibMesh?
Well, I use Canoe, but I use MemRep. But no, I don't really look at the files now. I just use Canoe file.
But GMB seems to be the only one that was likely to have a GUI.
I think.
Okay.
Is that Eclipse thing of any interest to you?
I didn't get it. That was Friday evening.
No, it's probably Saturday, I guess.
Yeah, no, I have my email from the weekend.
It would be fancy for the MPI stuff, honestly.
Yeah.
In terms of development environment, I just didn't know if people would be turned off because it's Java.
It's not.
It's Java.
Well, Eclipse originally started as a sort of Java development environment, but...
it's written in Java.
Yeah.
I don't know whether the parallel stuff is written in Java.
No, just the actual...
GUI
is in Java.
I like the world, so...
Yeah. I just didn't know.
Didn't we just decide in Salamel not to use or have anything to do with it? Like, you know what, we just... That was what the big discussion was.
Yeah.
A month ago.
Yeah, for sure, but this is new information, so...
Okay.
And if you... you know, wanting to sort of avoid or trying to capitalize on you know, large
yeah, yeah.
that have already been you know, put into the sort of stuff that we're interested in. Well,
yeah.
It looked to me like it had a very strong debugging component to it, particularly for the MPI.
Yeah.
It looked to be probably well advanced over totally. Did anyone download it?
No.
It's got a built-in debugger that might have parallel support on it.
API.
Oh.
Thank you, I don't know that. I'm not sure what I was saying.
That's something that IBM makes available? Is it a Macintosh product?
Yeah, it was originally developed at IBM, but now it's a sort of
community token.
Okay.
Yeah.
IBM has their debugger that's pretty buggy. So, I think it's Java.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really not sure about that.
Next Monday, I'm planning on being away. So, no. But I am quite keen that we do try and make some progress on writing criteria and answering those questions against CM and LibMesh and writing something from scratch. And, you know, the three things that come to mind is language, speed of operation, and... and flexibility, but also time to develop, sort of things. The big players,
and the user community that is around to support what
yep.
the tools you
yep. make
choose
use.
To adopt.
Yep.
You mean around here?
No,
well,
worldwide.
Okay.
Yeah, probably more so worldwide.
Yeah.
So that was language speed, time to develop. That's run speed, execution speed.
Yeah. Flexibility, I mean, that comes to something like, you know, flexibility in my mind includes, you know, yeah, we've discussed field ML a lot, but would something like this enable us, you know, to use it? if we wrote something from scratch, then presumably we could. It would give us the greatest flexibility. And then use a community or community or something.
Yeah.
Okay. We actually did get a delivery date for the Sergrant cluster of the 30th of June to land in New Zealand. Sometime in the week after that, or two, I guess they'll try and put it in data storage, and then the week or two after that, they'll try and install software on it.
In July?
Sorry?
In July?
Yeah, coming to late July, I guess.
Yeah. All right, good. At least get me going. Probably, Linux, right?
It'll be Linux, Power5 Linux, SUSE. Well, it, assuming that we buy a license.
Why do they kind of force us or encourage us? Encourage by saying we won't support you if you don't use SUSE?
There are two supported, SUSE and Red Hat. I think they're both supported. I think SUSE was going to be a lot cheaper to use.
I think if we don't get an operating system that IBM supports, we're going to have trouble getting support on compilers.
Yeah. I mean, we could build Gentoo on it or something, I presume, but it might be a bit exciting. And I'm hoping also to catalyze, to use this move to migrate the whole of the existing HPC to Linux as well. It forces us to have Linux on our development partition. It just seems crazy to then have to make people compile everything twice.
Catching bugs.
It does. There is one thing in there. Well, although it's using the same compiler, then maybe not. Having different compilers often helps.
Well, 10 use external compilers.
Well, then we probably will to keep using XLC as well. I expect that that's what they're going to give us, is XLC for Linux. So you're right, that you compile with a different compiler. But using GCC is available as well on the platform that you chose to, or on a different one. And it would seem useful that if you submitted a job to load leveler and it was a single processor, that it could choose whether it farmed it out to a node on the cluster or not.
Should we buy a microphone for this room? This is my home microphone, so I don't really want to bring it to work every day on breaking down the phone.
Yeah, no. We should.
Does the university have standard companies that they're used to buying from the doctor who already have an account?
Totally, but you can have to ask. Yeah. Okay.